Okay, we're on. Hi, this is Michael Waits, and welcome back to AIP's News Roundup with Teresa Blissing, the founder of AIP, and me. Teresa, how are you doing today?
And you know, the best podcast host in all of Asia.
Something like that. Let's get right to it. There's lots to cover, as always, and actually more to cover than normal. Why don't we start with our own news? I mean, we rebranded, we launched a new website, and we rolled out some new services as well. Do you want to start with that?
Sure. So we launched our new website and also new logo and brand image, which is really exciting. I think the old website is not doing justice to what we are actually doing, right? It's like more than 10 months of thought leadership content, right? So we have published 55 regular episodes. I think this is number 14.
Has it been that many?
Yes, crazy, right?
Yeah.
And we had like lots of amazing guests on the show. And I think the old website was not really giving it justice. What I really like about our new website now is that you can look at like featured guests as well as featured companies. So for example, this week we have a panel on that I recorded at Insurance Innovators, right, in Indonesia. A month ago, with Tom Duncan from Grab, Mike Eckstein from Chubb, as well as Pakhendra Tan from One Connect Indonesia, right? So now if you want to find this episode, you can also just go under companies, look under Grab, and then you will find this week's panel episode as well as the episode we recorded with Duncan a couple of months back, right, when you had the one-on-one with him. So I think that's great. Really, really happy about that. It should make it much easier for our users to find episodes that are relevant to them. Also have like a little search function there. Also, the ability to publish more blog posts and general thought leadership.
Yeah, I mean, look, from an administrative perspective, it's much easier. But just from a knowledge dissemination perspective, it's just so much better because everything is so much more integrated and so much better connected, if that makes sense. In other words, the companies, yes, are connected to the guests, which are connected to the categories. Like, it's just so much better integrated. And when I look at it, I get happy.
Me too. I'm also really thrilled about the calendar function we have because, you know, we are working with lots of conferences. Been at InsurTech Insights in Hong Kong last year. As I mentioned, months ago, I was at Insurance Innovators. And now we have this cool calendar function where we can list all the conferences that are going on in Asia and technically globally. But I think this is coming to a halt now.
Yeah, it might be, which is, it's interesting for us though, right? I think in a way it makes the podcast a little bit more powerful because it gets to bring people together in a way that's virtual. And I think the world is moving in that direction, which frankly, yes, is something that you always expected, which is why you started this thing. But you did do a ton of traveling over the past 12 months. And we're
Certainly. You know, the situation we have right now where we rely on digital channels, and we will continue doing this and reporting on InsurTech news and also get all the amazing startups out there and innovative insurers on the show to talk about digital transformation, to talk about actually, you know, now is the time that InsurTech is really crucial.
It is.
We are seeing this now with the, you know, call for self-quarantined, for social distancing, right? We will see more and more moving online, and insurance won't be an exception, right? And pretty sure that those insurers who have been on their digital transformation journey for a while now and have managed, you know, an IT landscape and architecture that allows remote working, you know, digital transmission of documents, they will definitely have an advantage now where nobody is meeting, you know, people if it's not absolutely necessary. And I'm quite curious to see what impact this has on insurance distribution.
Yeah, so am I. I mean, look, one of the things we joke about a lot is these alternative forms of distribution, and we talked about it in the concept of financial products, right, and insurance products. But maybe what we're now going to see is alternative forms of distribution for information. Even though the internet has been doing this for two decades, I worry actually about what's going to happen. You see things like Coachella and South by Southwest and a bunch of other massive conferences globally that have been canceled.
Yes.
And yeah. I'm actually really concerned about what's going to happen to, you know, things like the Tech in Asia conferences and Echelon, all these other things that are meant to happen this year. Is it just a year off, or is it a secular change in what's going to happen? I don't know, right? But what I do know is that people are still going to want to have that information, and maybe that all happens virtually from now on, so people don't have to travel all over the world, but I don't know the answer to that.
And, you know, as we mentioned, it is crucial at the moment that insurers build their digital capabilities,
yeah.
Right? You know that I'm working with one of the consulting companies on digital transformation and helping insurers to, you know, get up to speed. And now we can feel it, like there is the need to, you know, get paperless so people are able to work from home. And the same for the customers, right? So if they need assistance, that they can do this all digitally, can submit their information digitally. And now is the time. Now it will show who has the digital capabilities to do that.
And who doesn't, right? And I feel like this is just going to accelerate, right? Because the whole idea of insurance agents going to meet their clients and just these in-person meetings, I feel like, we're going to slowly but surely, the face-to-face stuff was going to not end, but like get smaller and smaller anyway. But now I feel like it's going to accelerate.
Yeah, I'm scheduled to have a meeting tomorrow with one of an insurer, but got canceled because they are not taking any external meetings anymore.
Really?
And have you seen the share price of Zoom going up?
No, but I didn't even look at it. But that's a great point, actually. I didn't think about it, but I will go take a look at it. Yeah, look, I think anything that's being done virtually and anything that's distributing information virtually is going to become more and more important. So good for you. What else? So one of the things you talked about was more services. What other services are we going to offer?
We're going to offer? Yeah, good point, Michael. Now, we are also together with our friends from Air Raid, have soft launched InsurTech Mentors,
right,
which is the platform where insurers can connect with digital talents. And digital talents means startups on the one hand, but also young professionals who are looking for like career advice, looking to get some insight into how they can develop their career. So that is actually also a good place for insurance companies to attract talents and showcase their organization as, you know, an innovator, as well as, you know, with corporate social responsibility, that, you know, we care about people, we care about people development.
Right.
So that's quite exciting. We have a few insurance companies coming on board. And the way it works, basically, we have insurance partners coming on board, some of their managers who have the bandwidth to offer some mentoring. This can range from like 1 to 5 hours a week, can come onto the platform and connect there with startups and young professionals offering mentoring. But, you know, we are also seeing a reverse mentoring here, because you know how it is. The insurance industry can be quite conservative. A lot of, especially mid-management, hasn't really been in touch that much with startups, right? So you have the innovation officer, right, who is at all the startup events and engaging with startups. But the people who actually have to implement it, and that's something, you know, we kept hearing, you know, our friend from DocDoc, Cole Sirochek, he said, I'm not talking to the CEO anymore. I'm not talking to the CIO anymore. I want to talk to the actuary. I want to talk to the people who are implementing it, because that's where the problems start. This platform will allow this like mid and senior management to get in contact with startups to understand, you know, the whole process of digital business models, right? Engage with these young entrepreneurs and, you know, understand their thinking. And that offers like a reverse mentorship and should help organizations to you know, change mindset and get some new creative ideas, broaden their horizon by engaging with us. And again, this can all be done online. So good thing in times of coronavirus.
Where can people go and see InsurTech Mentors?
Well, we have insurtechmentors.com. Mentees can sign up there, but there's also a form for mentors, so insurance companies, to reach out if they are interested to get onto the platform. So mentees, like startups and young professionals, they can simply sign up on the website. For companies, please reach out, can reach out to me, can reach out via the form on the website, and then they can get some more information how it all works.
Yeah, and look, I think this, you and I talked about this offline, but I think this is the way the whole world is moving, right? Like bespoke places where specific industries can go to get not just information about it, but where they can find opportunities inside there, but also get that mentoring where, and I like this concept you mentioned of reverse mentoring. These big incumbent insurance companies are amazing, and their forte, obviously, is the underwriting and the risk mitigation. But then there's some stuff in the distribution side where maybe they can learn from some of the startups, among other things, right? And that reverse mentoring is actually also critical, I think.
And it's also a great way to attract talents, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, we are seeing a war for talents, especially digital talents who have capabilities in data science, in developing digital business models. I mean, we all know insurance is not the number one choice for young people when it comes to career, right? There are like a lot of other industries that are basically first on mind. So that is a great way for insurance companies to get access to new talents to join organization, you know, in a different new way.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? But you know, we released an episode last week with Karen, right? Zulkarnain.
Yeah.
And she's so excited, maybe more excited today than she was 15 or 20 years ago when she first joined, right? You could hear it in her voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, the fact is that most people end up in insurance either by accident or because, you know, a family member was working in insurance. And that was definitely the case for me.
With
my
me,
dad
right?
had an insurance agency. And Michael, you basically ended up by accident because you met me.
Right, exactly. Although you don't know this, but like one of my father's first jobs. So I told you this. My grandmother was an actuary at Aetna. And
true. And my father, see family again.
And my father sold insurance like early on in his career. Anyway, Why don't we move on to other news that's out in the market? Do you want to talk about this OneConnect and their artificial intelligence and how they're using it to accelerate digital transformation, particularly in the context of COVID-19?
Yes. So there's this article out on Yahoo Finance about OneConnect using AI to accelerate digital transformation in response to COVID-19. And I mean, it's not really a news article. It's more like a marketing push where OneConnect showcases how their technology can help, for example, in online services, in claims handling process, right? What we actually just talked about, like in times of social distancing, how can insurance companies work? And it's a valid strategy here to push this, and a lot of insurers are in need of this at the moment, right? All of the you know, legacy insurers who are still very paper heavy, they will need these kind of solutions now if the virus continues over weeks and months.
I think so. And you know, one of the trending sort of memes that I was seeing over the last few days was these three letters WFH, right? Work from home.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out, is this a short-term change in the way companies look at workers? I remember Yahoo a few years ago said, we're going to stop working from home. We're going to bring everybody back into the office. But I wonder now, like, what the impact is of this virus over time is going to be. And if that's true, like, how does this AI thing come into play where it supports all these online services in a way that it might not have had to before, right? And yeah, maybe this is a little bit of a marketing thing, but maybe there is going to be a secular change in the way that work happens and the way that companies like OneConnect uses their AI to then change the way people work, but also supports those people as well.
Yeah, you certainly are spot on here. I mean, you have you have to separate. On the one hand, it is to be now more flexible in times of crisis, right? So to give people the opportunity to work from home, to access everything via the cloud, to have like a digital claim submission process so that your clients can also stay at home and be safe. But also, I mean, digital transformation has so many reasons to do it, from like data analytics to also like customer service, right? Giving customers the choice to either meet with an agent or doing everything online. And if you want to learn more about what OneConnect is doing, just mentioned that I recorded with Pak Hendra from OneConnect Indonesia, and in this panel we are actually talking about how OneConnect is helping insurers to go digital, right? And OneConnect is part of the Ping An Group. We also talked about that. I asked the question, I was like, okay, so insurers are now buying basically from their competitor, right? Buying technology from their competitor. And he answered and he said, like, you know, in this market today, nobody wins on their own.
Right.
And that's also the case, I guess, we are seeing now with COVID-19, right? So nobody wins on their own. And in times of ecosystems and partnerships, those strategic partnerships can actually be key.
I was going to say, so today I had this conversation, as you know, right, with Taguch, and one of the things that he said as well was one of the key trends is this idea of partnerships. And this gets back to something that I say a lot. Nobody succeeds alone. Anyway.
True.
So let's switch gears a little bit. There's also a story about Didi, right, which is the ride-sharing leader, the ride-hailing leader in China. And they just got a license for insurance, right?
Well, they got a 32% stake in Hyundai Insurance China. So they are actually investing. I mean, you know, take a step back and think about this. A startup, a ride-hailing startup, has now a 32% stake in an insurance company, right? And
think about the significance of this, right? You make a really good point. It wasn't like the Hyundai Insurance took a stake in Didi. It was Didi took a stake in the insurance company, and it was the subsidiary or partner company of a Korean insurance company in China.
Yeah.
So cool. Go ahead.
Yes. Apparently now they hold the shares together with also Lenovo, who also holds like 32%. Then I think 33% is held by Hyundai Marine and Fire Insurance, right? So the parent company who initially started this Chinese subsidiary. But that is very interesting. And we have seen and talked a lot of Grab getting into the insurance game, applying for the digital banking license. And here Didi is taking a different route, right, by investing into one of the insurers. Will be interesting to see what is coming out of it, if they want to get like access to the license, if they're going to help them build products that are relevant for Didi and their ecosystem. They are already offering, so Didi is already offering financial services around like car loans and car insurance.
Right.
And I'm going to be interesting to see what is coming of this partnership and this investment.
Yeah, I have so many questions about this. Like even Lenovo, which is a computer manufacturer, is buying into a digital insurer, right? They're buying into the Hyundai Fire Marine, excuse me. And Didi's also doing the same thing. It's just like everybody seems to be consolidating around InsurTech, right? And the other thing I wanted to ask is, and I asked the guy that I was talking to today, there were rumors about Gojek and Grab merging. And you know my thing about alternative forms of distribution. And we don't have to answer this question, but I just want people to think about what would be the impact of those two companies merging, because they also have fintech arms and InsurTech arms as well. They're trying to then distribute insurance to all of their riders and drivers. So let's just leave it out there and let people think about it. But I thought that was actually really interesting.
For sure.
And do you want to talk about Paytm as well in the context of Didi getting, investing in this and having a license? It looks like Paytm in India also now has a brokerage license to offer insurance products.
Yes. So they got granted now by the regulator a broking license. They before had, I think, an agent license, which only allows them to, you know, sell on behalf of one insurance company. Now with a brokerage license, they can, you know, sell insurance from like different carriers, which there certainly gives them more flexibility and more possibilities to partner with like interesting insurance companies to offer their solutions and also offer different solutions. If you think of Grab, for example, I mean, Grab has a strong partnership with Chubb, right?
Yeah.
But they are also working with NTUC Income, the micro, in Malaysia, where they offer the critical illness micro insurance product, right? That was together with NTUC Income. And also in Thailand, they launched this COVID-19 coverage together with Muangthai.
Yep.
So I think this brokerage license will allow Paytm also to be more flexible and decide to work with like different partners on different products where it makes sense.
I just think it's interesting as well, because we've been talking about Paytm for the last few months in the context of what are they going to do to expand the products that they can offer the people that are already on their payment system. And this is just another example of that, right? Very interesting.
I just remembered like another company that required now a brokerage license, at least in Thailand, is GoBear.
Right.
So GoBear started off as like a metasearch platform, but they were not a licensed broker. So they would not make revenue from commission, but basically from clicks they're redirecting to insurance companies. So
lead gen.
Initially, how the GoBear platform was built is a bit similar to TripAdvisor.
Right.
Yep. So, you know, you're looking for a product and they want to buy it, and then you are redirected to the company website, and GoBear is basically providing reviews and information, like very similar to like the TripAdvisor concept. But then GoBear would direct to the website of the insurance carrier. Whereas now with this brokerage license, I'm wondering if this is going to change, because with the brokerage license, they can get income from commission, so from actually selling the insurance.
Right. And this reminds me a little bit, we talked about this offline, of Traveloka, which really just started as kind of an aggregator and a price comparison site. And then they moved into the booking side as well, which is where they can take commissions and stuff for a whole bunch of different things. It kind of feels a little bit like the same progression, right?
Yes. And also probably now, you know, thinking about the COVID-19 again, I'm getting already tired of this topic, but I mean, it's just a new reality, right? So I believe that these sites like GoBear, you know, like Policy Bazaar, all these like online aggregators are going to see probably a increase in users, because nobody wants to meet in person anymore. Due to social distancing. And on the other hand, I think a lot of people now realize how important health insurance actually is.
Right.
Right.
Right. We talk a lot about penetration, right? And sometimes you need a reason to go out and get insurance. And this is one of the reasons why I think people are going to start thinking about it. Because if you have a health problem or if you have a work problem, you can't go to work and you can't get your income. And COVID-19 is one of the things that may be an impetus for people to start thinking about, maybe I do need some insurance.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, we are talking about so many insurance topics here, health insurance, travel insurance, business interruption.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that the online sites will now see an increase in people, you know, requesting information. So very curious to see the results for like the distribution channels, because in Thailand, I think it's way below 5% what is bought online, but I think that's going to change now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to talk to Prem and see what happens over at Frank and just other companies like that are on the distribution side.
Yes, I mean, we are scheduled to meet with Nicolas from Rojai. If this is still happening.
I know.
But we can. But we can always record remote.
I'm going.
So luckily, we have this capability. Definitely should ask him and see if they already see an impact from that.
So I want to change again a little bit, but last December, we talked to Mitesh Jain, right? The CTO and one of the co-founders of Simbo. And it looks like there was a little bit of news on Simbo Insurance. And I kind of like when people we know win things, if that makes any sense.
No, I agree with you. And I also, I recorded with Lawrence, right? So the
yes.
CEO
yep.
for Simbo's Singapore or Southeast Asia operation. And also met at the, you were there as well, at the
yep.
InsurTech Panorama by the OIC here
OIC.
In Thailand, right? So we know the, yes, we know the guys quite well and also quite happy for them. So they won the Zurich Innovation Championship 2020 for Singapore.
Wow.
So yeah, congratulations on that. And the way this like innovation championship is structured is that now they are in the competition for regional. So I would guess that's Asia. And if they make the next round, they will go into like the global competition.
Right. Look, I want to just cover one more thing before I let you go, and that is Myanmar. It's not a country we spend a lot of time talking about, but I feel like it's a country we're going to spend more time talking about as things move forward. It looks like
yes.
there's been some news there where now they've been, what is this, bank assurance in Myanmar? You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Yes, so they are starting now with bank assurance in Myanmar, a distribution channel which has proven to be very successful in lots of Asian countries, right? Also in,
yep.
in Thailand, majority is done via bank assurance. Now they're implementing and authorized to provide bank assurance as well as in Myanmar, so it's also a regulatory issue. It will be interesting to see if it will be as successful as here, because what I really like about countries like Myanmar and Cambodia and also to a degree Vietnam, because they have the potential to leapfrog certain developments.
Always,
and
yeah.
also if you're looking at the population structure, right? While Thailand has quite an aging population, they have a very young population, often with average below 30 years old, and but a very high mobile penetration, right? So I always think these countries are great, test beds to see how to, develop like a fully digital solution there. But bank assurance, distributing insurance, we are the bank offices has been a proven concept. So I'm not super excited about this use, you can tell.
Right.
Maybe they can also set it up in a new way. Tell you an interesting story. So I spoke to someone from Cambodia, one of the major insurance companies operating there, and they have 100% of their agents who work with like iPads or tablets to write the contracts, right? So there's like zero paper.
Wow.
That is incredible. But
that
it's,
is incredible.
You know, when you, the most difficult part about digital transformation is actually not the technology. We have the technology.
Right.
You know, we have all these great companies like Chang'an Technology, One Connect, to just name a few we had on the show, but there are so many great tech providers. The tech is not the problem. The problem is changing behavior.
Right.
And, in a country where you don't have this behavior, it's easier for them to adopt a new technology. That's why they were in Cambodia so successful, because nobody was used to paper. But in countries like Thailand, where the agents have been using their, paper contract and, they have done business for this for decades, that's the challenging part, right? Like changing their behavior.
Yeah, and their mindset. This is the thing that Karen and I talked about last week. Very true.
Yes.
Okay. Have we covered enough? I think we have, yeah.
I think. I have the feeling we only covered COVID-19, but...
No, we didn't. No. There was way more than that. I want to make one more point just so people understand this. The median age in Myanmar is 28.2 years old.
Yes.
It's young.
Yes.
And just for context, the median age in Thailand is 40.1 years, and the median age in Malaysia is much younger. It's 30.3. But just to get a sense of like the ability to develop something... the average Myanmarian is like 12 years younger than the average Thai.
Yes. And that's exactly my point, right? So it makes sense to do the bank assurance there. But it's not really exciting. What really would excite me is that they try something new to get like this, you know, digital generation, which makes up, you know, most of the country.
Agreed.
And take this opportunity to go new ways.
Agreed. Okay, Teresa, let's end with that. I really appreciate your time again today. And I cannot
Thank
wait for
you,
the next
Michael.
2 weeks. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.